TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI. Trust-based relational intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 7, Episode 2. On this show, we talk all about TBRI, or Trust-Based Relational Intervention. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various communities of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and I'm so honored to introduce today's conversation. Today, we are chatting with Cindy Lee, who is a longtime friend and collaborator of KPICD, a TBRI mentor, a licensed social worker, children's book author, and as you will hear, so much more. Cindy is the executive director and co-founder of the HALO Project. HALO is a 10-week intensive intervention program for children in foster care and or children who have been adopted and families at risk for their children being removed. She is also the creator of many curriculums that focus on adults knowing their worth and moving toward earned secure attachment, including Making Sense of Your Worth and Building Freedom Within. We had so much to discuss with Cindy that we broke this conversation into two episodes. In this first part, you'll hear about Cindy's TBRI journey and her work with HALO Project and Making Sense of Your Worth. Cindy and Sarah talk about lots of resources in this episode, so links to everything that they mentioned will be in the show notes in your podcast app. There are so many takeaways from this conversation, but what stuck out the most to me is that every person needs to know their worth, or as Dr. Karen Purvis put it, needs to know their own preciousness. We are so grateful for Cindy's work and that she took the time to chat with us today. Please enjoy this conversation with Sarah Mercado and Cindy Lee.
Well, Cindy Lee, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I am doing so well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
This is going to be a lot of fun. Let's just jump right in because I know that our listeners are so excited to hear from you. Just brief introduction, and how did you come to know TBRI?
So I came to know TBRI 10 years ago now, actually 11 years ago now. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I was working in a clinical setting, and we were just seeing a huge influx of kids who've experienced relational trauma, many who were in foster care or who have been adopted, and all the tools we had in our toolbox just wasn't effective with that population specifically. Right. And so we just started looking nationally, where in the United States / world is there an intervention or something for this population specifically? And I went to lunch with a good friend of mine who is the executive director of a child placement agency. And she's like, well, you've heard of Dr. Purvis, right? And I was like, who is Dr. Purvis? I had no idea. At that time, there were maybe three practitioners in the entire state of Oklahoma. And so she's like, well, I have some DVDs. I'll get those to you. And I just looked at her and I said, I'm following you back to the office. Like, you're going to give me that DVD right now. Because we are so desperate for solutions. So I went home, put it in. And it was one of Dr. Purvis's lecture series. And I just started to cry. And I said, this is the answer. We have to bring it back to Oklahoma. And then, you know, going to practitioner training, and the rest is a whole lot of history. So
that's a whole lot of history.
It's 10 years. A whole lot of history. 10 years this year.
Right? Mm-hmm. Jeez. So HALO, I mean, HALO is a ton of things, right? Like at this point, it's a whole bunch of things.
Yes.
But when it started, you started this one little program. So I want to hear about the organization as a whole, but can you talk us through the early days? How did you even, like, what happened in your brain that you were like, I should try to do this thing where, you know, we bring in a small group of families, and it's what happened?
Well, it's kind of two things happened. One is at practitioner training at that time, so much of it was lecture, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I consider myself extremely blessed that I got to sit there and listen to Karen and David just lecture. And it was mesmerizing, and we could just sit there and absorb all that knowledge. But as I left, my question became, this is amazing, but how do I take all this information and help the three-year-old that's having a tantrum in my office? Mm-hmm. Where's that kind of method and application piece? And then also, kind of at the same time, we, you know, at that time, most of TBRI was presented in the research in a camp setting. And mm-hmm. When I left there, all I could think about on the drive home from Fort Worth was that I didn't want to be a camp counselor. And
so I was like, my lifelong dream,
right,
by the way.
Right. And then too, I knew if we did a camp that our families in need at the other times of the year, we're not going to have access to services. So it became sure. this idea of like, how do we take the camp concept and divide it over a course of time? And for us, it was 10 weeks. How do we, go 10 weeks and introduce all these concepts. And then because we're clinicians, we wanted to include some of the clinical expertise into the process. So from that point on, it became lots and lots of conversations really with Dr. Casey Call. So it's the Institute's intellectual property. And then I was trying to create some application pieces and curriculum and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was just massive correspondence with the Institute, getting permissions. Can we try this? Can we use this? And then we just said, let's run a pilot. And we ran our first pilot program, 6 families, ages 3 to 7, got some data, looked at the data, and we're like, oh my goodness, it worked. And so then you want it to work.
Right.
You want
it
to work. But then once it works, you have a whole nother set of things to do, right? Now we have to keep, we're going to keep doing it. And so we've just, ever since that first pilot, we've been running round after round after round, gathering data, more data, sharing that with the Institute, getting approval for new ideas and things and concepts. But the basic idea is that it's a 10-week intensive TBRI clinical program, and it's highly effective and efficient for our kids and families that are in the state of Oklahoma.
Oh man. So what does 1 week look like for a family?
So families will sign up for the program. The only criteria is for this program is that the child has to be either in foster care or adopted. It could be anywhere in the United States or nationally or internationally. And so they sign up, they come to 2 hours a week of what we call trauma education classes, which is all the key components and teachings behind TBRI, trauma in the brain, attachment, all the psychoed that we would want to include. And then while the families are experiencing not only the educational pieces of TBRI, but that cohesiveness and connectedness and mm-hmm. shared experience with other families who are experiencing very similar situations. So that's part of the magic, is the group coming together to learn these skills. And then while the parents are in class, the kids are in what we call Kids Club. And it is so much fun. It is activity after activity after activity with all the things that are needed, all sensory needs. And that the Kids Club is run by a clinician who's a TBRI practitioner. And then we have 2 admins in there. And then each child is paired with a volunteer buddy, someone in the community who's committed to helping a child heal. And so that's happening all one night of the week. So every night of the week here in our office, there's a program running.
Wow.
And it's all ages, all the way from 3 up to our teens. And then during the week, what will happen is the family will come to an individual or family counseling session. And in those sessions, we are specializing in problem solving the very unique items for that specific family, while also helping them process and make sense of their own histories and why they're in foster care and what happened. So all in all, by the end of the 10 weeks, the family gets 50 hours of therapy.
Wow. And what does it cost a family?
So for our cost, it costs us about $1,500 to do it per family for the 10 weeks.
Okay.
The cost to the actual family, we offer it at actual no cost. The family does not pay to go through the program.
Okay.
I know.
How do you make it happen? So how do you, like, who, somebody funds it, right? Like,
absolutely.
Okay. So you just go out and get grants and partners in the community, and you have the volunteers come in and.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all funded right now by private dollars. So that foundations, individuals, sometimes after the families go through and receive the gift, they will in kind make a donation for another family to go through.
That makes sense.
Since we did the first pilot in 2013, we haven't had to charge one family for the services.
Of HALO. Wow. Unbelievable. And I'm assuming on your website, people can find information. So if you're a TBRI practitioner and you're a clinician, are you able to access your material? Do you do training on it? How do people, I mean, if I hear about 10 weeks of something that gets massive gains and I'm spinning, I want to know how. Is that even available to the public?
It absolutely is, which is so wonderful. So we do one training per year in the curriculum. Okay. It's usually in January. The last one we had about 35 people represented over multiple states. And the hope is for them to come learn the curriculum and take it back to their own organizations and implement. And so right now in the United States, there's another full implementation going on in Pennsylvania, our friends in Pennsylvania. Awesome. And then there's about 6 or 7 that are currently emerging in different states across the United States. So that is kind of new for us. We just started doing that a couple of years ago.
That's exciting.
But yes.
I can remember when you were chatting with Dr. Cross about it and what that would look like and all the things. So I just say, like, I say that for our listeners to keep in mind, if you're looking at doing something like this, we definitely want to be in contact with you. Cindy has all 8 million permissions with the Institute, and it's definitely collaborative work with Cindy's creative brain and everything that happens in there that doesn't make sense to the most of us on the outside. For our listeners also, we will link where you find all of these resources to the HALO website on the show notes, so you won't have to go digging around, although I imagine it's fairly easy to find. I want to back up just a second to get into a few of the nuts and bolts. The children's books.
Oh,
what the heck?
I know. So fun. What a fun project.
They are fun. How did they come to be? What happened?
So when we were creating the HALO curriculum and gathering ideas and resources for our kids club, we would select a theme. Like one night might be doggy night, or one night might be centered around an animal or a subject or something like that. And so I would go out into bookstores and try to find books that represented the theme that also I could somehow twist to teach the lesson. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to find the things that I need. And there was one day where we do a whole elephant theme in one of our weeks, and I needed an elephant book to teach a specific lesson. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I was just sitting at my kitchen table. I was like, well, these kids don't care the quality of this book. I'll just write it real quick, throw on some graphics and call it a day. And so we had this like little makeshift book that, was teaching the concept of listen and mind, one of the life value terms at the time. And we just threw it together. And Dr. Casey Call I had showed it to her, and she had then talked to Dr. Purvis and Dr. Cross about the idea. And I'll never forget, Dr. Call called me one day and said, hey, so Dr. Purvis and Dr. Cross would like to meet with you about some creation of resources. And I about fainted. It's like one of those calls that you're like, stop playing a joke on me type of call.
Right.
And so they set up a meeting. It was my first time to go down there and meet with the Institute so long ago. I remember I went and bought a new outfit. I think I was sweating the whole way down because I wasn't sure what I was walking into. And of course, the kindness that I was welcomed with. And then it just became a discussion. And Dr. Purvis asked if I could create some more. And then we decided to up our game and maybe do it a little bit more professionally than the cut and paste. And so that was a very collaborative project, of course, always with permissions, but Dr. Purvis and Dr. Cross signed off on all of those and would make suggestions for changes and things like that. So it's just a lovely, lovely project. And those, of course, are used all over, and kids love them. People will send me pictures of them and their kids reading the books, and
they're so fun.
It's just so fun.
I think the dragon one is my favorite. I think it's tough to be gentle because It just is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at least for me, sometimes it's tough to be gentle. Awesome. We will also link, you can find those on Amazon, right? So if people are interested in them, and they are, how many are there? Six?
There's six right now.
Okay. Right now?
Well, there's three more that are written. They're just sitting there waiting. So,
okay.
You know, that to-do list, Sarah, after 10 years gets long. So
I feel like you just announced to the wrong people that they're
waiting. I know. No, I know.
No pressure. Sorry.
Maybe a few snow days will.
There you go. You might get an email or two after this about where those books are. I'm just saying. Yes, I don't know.
No, let's, they need to be finished. Absolutely.
Let's chat about what is the bigger picture of Halo. So we talked about the Halo program, which is sort of the flagship mm-hmm. where you were founded. So we could go on and on and on. And I want to circle back to talk more specifically about your work within the community, within just families. So I want to dig into some of that, but I want us to talk about the Halo programs first, because I think that will help understand all of your other answers. So as you, of course, know, I have attended Making Sense of Your Worth and Building Freedom Within, and they completely 1,000,000% changed my entire life. I would say my personal journey to being able to truly do TBRI started with the AAI and making that hard decision. You know, you say 10 years for Halo. I'm 10 years in the personal work and still journeying along, but that's fine. Whatever. Nobody's counting but me. And then deciding, like, I want to do better in relationship with my kids. And then I got Making Sense and then Building Freedom Within. And it's like, I feel like I'm finally have, you know, a lot of the stuff I need. We talked to Katie Maitland a few weeks ago on the podcast. She talked about Making Sense as one of the things that she studied for her master's program and how pivotal it was in her life. For those that don't know anything about it, can you tell us about Making Sense of Your Worth and really how it came to be?
Sure, absolutely. So, the people who fund our programs, one of the foundations came and said, Cindy, this is excellent that work that you're doing on the intervention side with kids in care, but when are we going to address the prevention side? When are we going to start mm-hmm. working with the families who are at risk so we can keep kids in their home? And so they had asked me to take our 10-week TBRI program and take that over to our at-risk families. And I was a little hesitant because I felt like I knew that the families that we were going to work with were experiencing deep pain and deep hurt. And we can't just come in and start teaching them TBRI in the exact same way that we would teach it to somebody else. And so I was hesitant. But of course, the foundation, you know, they write me a giant check. And when someone writes you a giant check, you say yes, right? So
pretty motivating.
Yes. So we partnered up with our Family Justice Center here in Oklahoma City called Palomar and they serve survivors of intimate partner violence. And so the idea was to do a 10-week class. And in the group, we had women who were at risk for removal. We had, or for their kids to be removed. We had women who had parental rights were already terminated. And then we had some who were going through their reunification process. And so I showed up and I did not start talking about TBRI until week 9 of a 10-week program. And the reason being is because that whole entire time we were addressing their unmet needs, helping them with their own attachment, helping them with their pain and their struggles. And it just became apparent to me that if we could help someone get on that road to secure attachment, or as I like to say, get somebody into a position where they know their worth and value and they can wake up every day and be who they were created to be. And then we come in and talk to them about TBRI, the sky is the limit. So to have some of that healing piece, to have that, to be on that road towards secure attachment and then picking up TBRI makes all the difference in the world. So that experience coupled with a variety of other factors led us to create this 8-week program called Making Sense of Your Worth. The purpose of the program is to help an individual go from an insecure attachment style towards a secure attachment style. In layman's terms, also just to go from low self-worth to positive self-worth. Because if a parent mm-hmm. can know and understand their own value, it is so easy for them to look at their children and see and understand the child's value. You mm-hmm. know, when we are experiencing deep pain, empathy is challenging. Compassion right, is right. challenging because we can't yeah, see beyond for sure. our own pain. So this helps somebody get to that place where they can freely, confidently, authentically mm-hmm. use the skills of TBRI to parent their children. So the children grow up to know their authenticity and walk in secure attachment. So that's making sense. And
well, yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting because, like, you know, the AAI for me was the pivotal moment of, like, I didn't know anything about attachment when I did the AAI. And then I was like, why is somebody calling me on the phone to talk about my childhood, which I didn't remember, right? There's here key marker for dismissive. But then when I knew there was something different and better and that I would feel better and my kids would, it was like, I was so determined to do that, but I never could do it. It almost felt like I was role-playing, right? Like listen to their feelings, but it was so dang hard. I mean, it was still so hard. And then once I could get making sense and of your worth and understand, like, really a lot of the why behind my own behavior and my own beliefs and my own pain, then I was able to, like, I felt like I could truly sit with them in their feelings without in the back of my head going, how much longer is this going to last? What can I do to hustle it along without being quote unquote dismissive? Right. And so I think, like, just the freedom that comes with that is such a gift, and I can't wait for my kids to get it. I'm about to start stalking y'all, just so you know, just for my baby. So.
Well, I mean, we do offer it to children as well. So yeah. That all grew out of that, but yes, it's okay. A game changer.
It really is. And then building mm-hmm. freedom. I mean, ditto to what I just said about making sense, other than it just gave me, I felt like the pressure valve got released and, like, I almost physically felt better when I was done with building freedom.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
So building freedom within is the part two to making sense of your worth. So making sense of your worth is all about that idea of how we came to believe certain lies that we believe about ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. And to replace those lies with truth. So in making sense, we are basically mimicking the original attachment style, the original design of caregiver to infant, but we're doing it in an age-appropriate way where we're, in making sense, we're finding a way to get our needs met as adults, and we're removing the barriers for ourselves to be delighted in. And the mm-hmm. barriers are the lies. So it's a lot of external exploration, setting the stage, getting it right. And so sometimes after making sense, people say, okay, but now what? Like, what do I do now with this new knowledge and this new information mm-hmm. and this freedom? And so building freedom comes in and answers that question of now what? Yeah. And basically building freedom within is essentially, how do I have the healthiest relationship I can with me? So that internal self, that internal dialogue, what kinds of things am I doing that I beat myself up for? What behavior mm-hmm. am I beating myself up for? And why am I doing that? And how kind mm-hmm. am I to myself? So yeah. it's about being in the healthiest relationship with self for the purpose of the greater good always. Mm-hmm. But it helps somebody get to the place where they have all the components to help them live what we call an authentic life, where you mm-hmm. can wake up every day and be yourself. But what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And once I know my worth and value, once I am in good relationship with self, how do I use that newfound freedom to put my creative expression out into the world for the betterment and of the greater good? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? What is my identity? What is my purpose? What yep. are my gifts and talents? Yep. And how do I do that?
Yep.
So that's building freedom. Ugh. It's good, heavy, deep work, and everybody should do it.
I completely agree. Although I want to echo, it is heavy, deep work, and it is good.
It is not good. A Band-Aid. Yeah.
Can we circle back to the survivors of domestic violence that you originally started with? Because I think I heard you say you got to week 9 before you were able to start TBRI. So it sounds like in my mind, you were developing making sense as you were going through. And then, because I think that the work of the bio families and their pain is something that eats at me day and night. And mm-hmm. I can get on a soapbox about are we being respectful to them and their needs and their history? And then I think about one of the things when I worked in foster care that was on repeat all the time was, you know, these are bad families. These are bad people. Like, you'd hear it. And we were trying to mend the fence of getting our foster families to be in relationship with these biological families and become a support for them. But the other thing that was on repeat is there's so many demands of these families, right? So even pre-removal, right, when they're at risk, they know they've got to do a certain number of things to get their kids back. So a lot of these families and these individuals have been through program after program after program, and they're programmed out. Mm-hmm. So they think they're coming to a 10-week program. You get to week 9 and you haven't started the program they signed up for. What on earth did they say to you when you said, we're not quite done, I'm going to need you to stick around for another 9 or 10 weeks.
Right. So we do the 10 weeks of making sense of your worth. But one of the things we do on the very first night is we present them with letters from past participants in their same position. Okay. So right when they walk in, they're reading a letter from someone who just completed the program. And okay. So it's a peer-to-peer exchange, and that calms them down a little bit. And then once they start getting into making sense, they feel they're there for it. They recognize it's not like every other class. This is a place where I'm experiencing love and connection and support. And so they will come. By the end of the 8 weeks, they are a tight, cohesive, supportive, loving, caring group. So that's why we don't average. So it's actually 2 8-week programs. One's 8 weeks of TBRI, one's this 8 week of making sense. But we never say you're signing up for a 16-week.
Right.
At the end of the 8 weeks, because that's hard to do for anybody. But
at
the end of the 8 weeks, and it's not mandatory, we'll say, okay, now that you know your worth and value, how would you like to parent in such a way that your children grow up knowing their worth and value so they don't have to unpack all this later? And the moms, and also dads, but for us in this group, the moms are like, oh, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, let me tell you, there's this called TBRI, right? And so that's the next 8 weeks is how to utilize TBRI. And obviously with permissions, of course, with the Institute, I cannot emphasize that enough. We created another 8-week program called Parenting for Positive Self-Worth. It's 100% TBRI. It's 100% fidelity to TBRI. But it's teaching TBRI through the lens of self-worth versus the lens of trauma. And there's trauma information in there, but very little. And the reason being is because if I go heavy on trauma in the brain and attachment and all those things without preloading that making sense, it has the potential to induce shame within our at-risk families. And we do not want that. They're already walking in all of that shame. So sometimes when we teach TBRI to foster and adoptive families, we might say, okay, why is this specific type of discipline maybe not the best for somebody who's experienced harm? And the group will brainstorm, well, maybe it's like this or whatever. So with on the bio side, we go in and we say, this particular traditional way of disciplining, why would this not promote positive self-worth in a child right off the bat? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, da-da-da-da-da. So then
they got it.
They got it. They completely understand it. And they go through the whole journey. They pick up. And I will say they pick up TBRI quicker than our foster and adopt families do. And accept it. And there's no pushback. And they're like, sure, I'll do a redo. I'll try a redo. And they're doing redos. Their kids are doing redos. Their choices are compromised. I got that. Sure. That makes so much sense to me. So we don't get any pushback at all when we do parenting for positive self-worth with our bio families after they've come to that place of health. Yeah. It's actually a little, it's fun.
Yeah. I don't know. One of my favorite things in training is when we start to get the person that's exploring and kind of pushing back, because, you know, I was a TBRI naysayer. Somebody was willing to wrestle with me. So, but like the people that come in and they're like, I'm sold, like, just tell me how to do this skill, are so fun in a completely different way. Right. Like,
absolutely.
Right. We talk about TBRI as a journey. They're in a different place of their journey. And it sounds like this can sort of catapult you ahead a little bit. Okay. Dear listeners, you can find all of this information, if you're interested, on the show notes to this podcast or on the HALO website, which we'll link to as well.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.